Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. When it comes to sales, there are as many techniques as there are salespeople. Everyone is looking for the silver bullet that will work every time with every customer. While the perfect close may not exist, this month's tape will provide some valuable information on what is called the two-step close. This method may not work for everyone, but I'm positive your closing percentage will increase if you will take the time to integrate at least some, if not all, of the following ideas into your current closing procedures. Wayne Atkins is no stranger to the trades industry. He spent 7 years as a regional business consultant for Lennox Industries. Wayne started his own company called the HVAC Business Doctor in 1992 and has been helping individual contractors improve their bottom line profitability ever since. Wayne works with all aspects of businesses, including sales, marketing, and pricing. He is presented at most of the industry national conventions and presents full-day seminars to contractors across the country. Now sit back and relax and see if you can pick up a few tips for increasing your closing rate.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction. I'm Wayne Atkins, the HVAC Business Doctor. But don't let my title fool you. I've worked with many other trades, and the techniques that I will be sharing with you work for any trade that sells directly to the residential customers. The title of my tape, How to Sell More Jobs with a Two-Call Close. And in this tape, I'm going to try to demonstrate the advantages and techniques of using a two-call close. As many of you are aware, many sales trainers teach a one-step sales approach. As a matter of fact, they insist upon you using a one-step sales approach. My opinion that each individual salesperson is different and has to develop their own approach to match their personality and style. Now, what I'd like to do is provide you with some reasons why a one-step sales approach may not always work and may not always be the best strategy when you're out there on that sales appointment. My first reason is you may have a customer that's a shopper and he may want more than one estimate. And you may offend him by asking him to purchase after the first call. You may also appear pushy and aggressive. Again, if that customer is trying to get more than one price to make a comparison, and you're trying to make him a decision before he's ready to do so, you would feel pushy or stressed into purchasing. The customer might feel that he cannot purchase until he has all of his numbers. He needs that comparison. Again, you're not going to be focusing on what the customer wants. You may not be using timing to your advantage. Being the last contractor provides great opportunity. The last one in is usually the one who sells. At the very least, you should have a strategy on how to use timing more effectively. If you attempt a one-step sale but do not close the job, you may be at a major disadvantage. Your competitors may be able to find out and learn more about your price and use that price against you. I'm sure all of you have experienced a situation where a contractor has gotten a hold of your price, done very little estimating, and turned around and offered your customer a price that was several hundred dollars lower than you just because he felt he could do the job less expensive than you can do it. The other thing that can happen, the same is true, with a special design or application. You go through the motions of making an outstanding design for a particular application. You're the only contractor up to now to actually figure out this type of application. And the next thing you know, a competitor has got your application and your design and offering the customer that application, that design for a lower price. I feel the key to any successful sales approach is to focus on what the customer wants. To be relaxed, to be natural, to be sincere, and if possible, have a little fun. People do business with people they like, so try to find out common ground. Here's some examples. When you're in that house with that consumer, one of the perfect examples of things that you would have in common with them could be children. Many of us have children. Your customers have children. There could be hobbies, activities, interests. When you're in the house, it is perfectly reasonable to try to make connections with your customers so that you have this common ground. People do business with people they like. It is difficult to increase the number of leads your firm receives, and even harder to see more customers if you're a sole proprietor and you take all the sales calls. By improving your selling skills, you will improve your closing ratios and thus make better use of your time. Today, what I hope we'll do is I want to describe good technique when using a two-step sales approach. Let's continue with some actual training. I am not going to ask you to can your presentations using all of my ideas. What I hope you'll do is to incorporate the ideas you like, and maybe some you feel you need, naturally into your current presentation. Remember, being a good or successful salesman means being professional, and professionals work on improving their skills and their techniques. Think about the example of professional athletes. Do they spend many, many hours of practice? You bet you do. And people who give speeches, I guess like myself, do we practice? Sure we do. We always work on our presentation, and as a matter of fact, we're always trying to make it just a little bit better. Having good key technique is another key to success. Owners and sales staff need to work on their technique and to improve it, no question. Now, I'd like to give you several reasons for using a two-call or a two-step sales approach. Here's my first reason. Better chance for having both decision makers home. If you go out and measure, which I consider to be the first appointment during the day, there's a very good chance that only one of the two decision makers, the husband and wife, will be home. If you have a two-called approach, which means that you would probably return on a Saturday or an evening, there's a much better chance of having both decision makers there, and therefore you avoid, I can't make a decision because I don't have the other party available. The second reason for a two-call close is it may be what the customer wants. We already talked about some of the things that customers don't like as far as a one-step sales approach. Well, maybe we'd be giving what the customer wants if we go with a two-called sales approach. And one of the keys is to provide the customer with what he wants. Another one is, if the customer is shopping, then being last is the best possible timing. If you're the last person that goes to this person's house with your paperwork, with your proposal, he is waiting for you before he can buy from anyone else. If you're the last one there, you've just put yourself in a much better position to sell that customer something. Another reason for a two-call close is that this approach may match your personality and style better than a one-step approach, and you will be more natural at the delivery of what you say to your customer. Now, I know I've met many, many contractors, and the vast majority do not like high-pressure sales, and therefore, when they're being taught to use a one-call approach, they're not really comfortable. And if they're not really comfortable, they're not natural, and if their presentation is not natural, what will happen is the customer reads that, and possibly the customer is uncomfortable with the salesman. Now, the final reason for using a two-call close is kind of simple. If you feel the customer is ready to buy on the first appointment, using a two-call approach, there's no reason why you can't go for a one-call approach. However, if the opposite is true and you're always using a one-call approach, it may be very difficult to reverse that direction and use a two-call approach. Be prepared for either a one- or two-call sales step approach, and try to maximize your success. Improving your closing ratios will improve your sales and increase your business. I once worked with a professional sales trainer named Larry Wilson. And I actually went through some training with him. And I was able to ask Larry, what are some of the keys that make any salesman successful in any industry? And what he said to me was, the key to being a successful salesperson is to focus on what the customer wants. If you're dealing with an emergency, replacement, or service, then a one-step sales approach would be the right strategy. If you're dealing with someone who's shopping like we've been talking about so far through this tape, then perhaps if this person is waiting for more numbers and more paperwork, the best approach would be a two-step call. Please make sure that you try to find out what your customer wants during your normal conversation and give that customer what he wants. There's some other considerations to improving your successful closing ratios. There is prime time for measure appointments, which I consider the first appointment on a two-step approach, and then there are prime time for sales appointments. If you're using a two-step sales approach, prime time for the first appointment would be during the day so that you do not waste your valuable prime time for selling, which would be nights. Prime time for the second appointment or the sales appointment would usually be nights or weekends, again, because both decision makers would probably be home. Of course, this is part of the questioning that you should do when you're with the customer. Now, let's start actually working on the two-step sales approach and what the proper techniques are. The first thing we have to do is identify the four goals of the first appointment or the measure appointment. The first goal is to sell yourself and sell your company. Now, this is done using a two-call approach through normal conversation and basically on a very passive basis. You normally ask questions and answer questions when you're with that customer and you're doing a survey of their home, no matter what product you're trying to sell them. You sell yourself by showing how intelligent you are and how much credibility and knowledge you have. I'll give you a quick example of what I mean. Some of you who are in the HVAC business, the moment I mention compass, you'll understand. The technique is to place a compass on the customer's dining room table or coffee table and hopefully elicit a question from the customer like, what is that compass for? By being able to get the customer to ask you questions, you will again show them how knowledgeable you are. In the case of the compass, obviously, it's to find out what position the house is in, so that you can properly complete a heat loss or a heat gain. But the more questions and answers that you provide and ask your customer, the more credibility you're building as you're doing so. The second goal of a measure appointment or your first appointment would be to introduce consumer financing. We have to qualify the customer. And the best part to do that is during the very first part of your normal conversations with them. Let me give you the technique that I use and the actual script that I would recommend you trying to work into your presentation. Here it is. Don't let me forget to tell you about the special financing program. Now, the reason you verbalize it like that is because you want the customer to ask you about financing, instead of trying to go into a lengthy explanation. And by asking them not to let you forget to tell them, it will qualify them. If they are interested, they will ask. If they're not interested, they won't ask. And that will make it a lot easier for you to introduce financing. Now, at the end of the appointment, if they haven't asked about financing, you still have one more opportunity to find out and qualify them of whether they're interested or not in financing. Here's the script that I would suggest you use. You almost forgot to ask me about the financing. Is that something you're interested in? Now, there are several reasons why we should use financing. Let me give you just a few. First of all, if we use financing as part of our presentation and part of our sales approach, we have raised the level of negotiation to a much higher plane. We are offering additional service that many other contractors may not. Another reason for using financing is, once the customer has accepted our offer to use financing, we are much closer to making the sale, especially when we return with an approved credit form. Now, for some of you who are questioning what the approval rate is, let me tell you what the industry averages are. Somewhere between 70 and 80% of all of the people who apply for consumer financing that's available to contractors through their normal channels, which would be their suppliers, is approved. Now, I have just one question for you. Do you want to do business with a customer as a cash customer if he doesn't pass a credit check? How will you be paid? The third and final reason that I'm going to give you for using consumer financing is this. The offer of special financing, which would be things like 0%, deferred payments, no interest, may be another offer that the customer feels is attractive and another reason to buy from you. Let's face it, free money, even if it's for only 3 months or possibly 6 months, is an attractive offer. And if you don't make that offer, and some other contractor does, you may lose the sale to another contractor. The third goal of the measure appointment is to match the equipment or services that you're going to provide to the customer with what the customer wants. Now, how do you do this? By observing and by asking what they want. What I'd really like to do next is to create a list of what do you want type of questions, because during the normal process of talking to your customer during the measure appointment, and even if you go for a one call close, the more times that you can find out what your customer wants and be able to provide him what he wants, the higher your closing ratio, and of course the more sales you will make. Here's some what do you want or questions that are in that vein. What are you looking for in terms of a company? What do you want from that company? What would you like from me as your consultant? What do you want me to do for you? What are the most important issues in making this investment in your home? Would it be efficiency, the life of the equipment, ecology, reduce the energy bills, price? What do you want? Are there any other problems or concerns? What else can I help you with? What else do you want? Do you want to improve the quality of the water that your family drinks? Is that something that I can help you with? How long do you plan on living in your house? Do you want extended warranties and additional protection? It is up to us to provide continuous servicing after we install your new, fill in the blank here. Would you want us to inspect and maintain your new, fill in the blank? Do you have a budget in mind for this project, or did you want my help with creating one? When do you want your new blank installed? When do you want to have all of your paperwork organized? When do you want it? I hope you see what I mean about asking what do you want questions. I believe if you do this, a couple of things will happen. Number one, you will be focusing on what the customer wants if you take the time to listen. And number two, hopefully you will build a rapport with the customer so the customer sees that you truly are there to help him and to provide what he wants. The fourth goal of the measure appointment is to determine the best possible timing for your return with your paperwork and to make your sales presentation. Now, how you do this, I believe, is with several of those what do you want questions. The first question I would ask is, when did you want your new blank installed? By asking this, you'll know exactly what your lead time is for installing this equipment. You'll also be able to go back to your customer and explain what your firm's lead time is and determine how long it takes to schedule the type of work you do. This puts you at a major advantage if you know when the customer wants the new equipment or system, whatever, installed. The second question you ask to determine the best possible timing, when do you want to have all of your paperwork? Now, you notice I've called it paperwork a couple of times, and the reason I've done that is because sometimes if you mention the word contract or proposal, it is much more threatening. So I call it paperwork. And the question would be, when do you want to have your paperwork ready? Now, we will try to return as close to the date that the customer mentions as possible. But one of the techniques that I recommend is even ask to extend the date. I'll give you a quick example. The customer says, I'm trying to have all of the paperwork ready by this Saturday. You open your appointment book and you say to the customer, you know, I'm completely booked this Saturday. I know we can do the work when you want it. However, I'm not sure I can get all of the paperwork ready by Saturday. Would it be all right if you allow me to drop this paperwork home possibly Monday or Tuesday night on my way home from work? I go right by your house. By doing this, you're trying to posture or position yourself to be last, because as we mentioned before, last is the best possible position. Now, here's some reasons why timing, being last, is important. Let's give you some actual reasons, especially if you know the customer is researching the product. If you are not the last, the customer might want to wait for the last price, and that's not going to be you. If you're not last with your paperwork, your competition may find out your price and use it against you. You know, people we call lowballers. If you're not last and you provide a unique design, your competition may find out that design and will steal your design and, again, possibly lowball your price. These are many reasons why last is being best, and I'll give you one example of how other people use this. In the car industry, they're asking you to take a test drive, and they'll always ask you, make our dealership the last one you come to. The reason for it is they're using two techniques. The last store, the last car dealership, the last place you go is where you buy. So when you're selling directly to the customer at his house, being last is the best. Now that we've finished with the four goals of the measure appointment, let's move on to the four steps of selling. Now, these techniques are based on conducting a second appointment or a two-call close to present your proposal and actually sell the products or the services that you are presenting to your customer. It is very difficult to sell over the phone or by fax or through the mail. And if you're currently doing any of those steps to sell, I got news for you. You're not really selling. Selling is done face-to-face. All right. Here are the four steps of selling. The first one is sell yourself and sell your company. Yes, this is the first step in the four goals of a measure appointment, but it's also the first step in selling. Now, during the second appointment, you want to be a little bit more aggressive. I recommend the use of a credibility book. Here's what I believe should be in that credibility book. Now, this credibility book is something that you would present to the customer and flip through as you're trying to sell yourself, which is building credibility for you and your company. The first thing I'd put in there is licensing. If you or your company has any particular licensing, please put that in there. Memberships to professional or industry organizations. Please put those memberships in there. Remember, being a member of a professional or industry organization usually means a greater commitment to excellence and training. Number three, insurance policies. Liability and workman's comp policies. Again, you are a professional and you are providing a level of protection for your customer by having insurance policies. We all know there's contractors out there that try to beat the system by either not paying their workman's comp bill or not fully insuring themselves. This provides protection to your customer, and I think it would be a good thing that he knows it. The fourth thing that I would put in your credibility book, reference letters or reference lists. Let me give you one quick example of this. I once had a contractor who I work with that had a sales folder, and this was like a container or jacket for all of his materials. A lot of people go into a lot of unique design on their sales folder. You know what this particular contractor did? He listed the names of every customer that purchased from him over the course of 30 years. Need I say it was impressive to see literally thousands of names and have any one of them be available as a reference? The fifth thing that I would like to see you put in your credibility book are pictures. Pictures are always worth a thousand words, so let's include a lot of things. How about a picture of your building? How about pictures of your trucks, especially if they're highly logoed? What about pictures of your office staff, your field staff? How about pictures of equipment? And you know, one of the most important pictures might be a before and after installation. Show the customer the quality of your work. Now, my last and final suggestion for your credibility book is be creative. Build credibility and sell yourself and your firm. Remember, this whole step of selling yourself and selling your firm shouldn't take more than possibly 5 and maybe at the very most 10 minutes. Merely flip through the book and go over all of the credibility that your company has through licensing, memberships of professional organization, insurance policies, reference letters, pictures, so on and so forth. Be creative. It's always good before you go out on this measure appointment and before you go out on the sales appointment to call and confirm your appointment the day before. Also, try to arrive on time or call if you're going to be late. Remember, many consumers have the opinion that contractors are people who are, say, not the most energetic and maybe not the most organized. And the old term, I'll get to it, applies. It's a stereotype. It's not fair. But that's the customer may view you. Now, once you arrive at the person's home, the second appointment should be conducted at the dining room or kitchen table, not the living room. We're looking for a quiet area where you will not be disturbed. So we're going to go into this kitchen or dining room table. We're going to present the credibility book, and we're going to sell ourselves. Again, this whole process shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes. My second step is called scope of the work. This step is merely to conduct a walkthrough of the job and a chance to describe the work you'll perform. Now, there are two major reasons for this step. The first reason is this. This process releases tension, both yours and your customers. It is perfectly normal to feel some tension before making a sales presentation. Some people don't, but there's a lot of us who do, and that's perfectly normal. Nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about. It is also perfectly natural for the customer to feel at least some tension while he's going through the sales process in his kitchen or dining room table. By conducting a walkthrough and leaving the kitchen room or dining room table, you break up the presentation, you break up the monotony of the sales presentation. This will also make the time span that you're with the customer seem shorter. Now, the second major reason for conducting the scope of the work or this walkthrough is by conducting a review of the work you perform, you will help alleviate any questions or future problems as to where equipment will be located or what work will actually be performed. Now, I know if you're like most contractors, you've experienced a situation where you thought you knew exactly where the equipment was going to be placed. You thought you knew exactly what type of work was going to be performed. But lo and behold, when your installers or your service people came to that person's house, the customer had a whole entirely different idea of what work was going to be done. By conducting scope of the work or a walkthrough, you completely eliminate that problem, or let's hope you do. The third step in the sales or second sales call is to actually sell the equipment or the accessories. Upon returning to the kitchen or dining room table, we have to introduce the products, service, accessories we have included in our proposal. Again, remember, I call it paperwork. Traditionally, contractors have used sales literature or product literature as their only tool to sell the products, services, and accessories. I have three recommendations. A, make sure to underline or highlight all of the important features and benefits that are in your sales literature. You do this so you won't forget to mention something and so that the customer has an easy reference point for comparison. Remember when explaining a feature to the customer, make sure that you explain the benefit. This benefit would usually be described in either dollars or in comfort. I'll give you a quick example. Warranty. Why is warranty a feature? Well, it is a feature. Some products have 1 to 2 years warranty, some have 5, some have 10, some have lifetime warranties. Now, that's the feature. What's the benefit? Because while the product is under warranty, the parts to repair the product will be at no cost to the consumer. Now, if you can tie in the cost of those replacement parts, now the customer has a feel for what the benefit and what the value of the benefit is, the feature being warranty. Another technique that you should try to use is to tie the benefit into what the customer wants. For example, with warranty again. I remember you saying that this was going to be the last house that you buy and that you wanted this equipment completely protected. One of the best ways to provide you protection is to provide you with extended warranty. Did you listen to your customer? Did you give him or her what they want? Let them know when you're talking about features and benefits. Perfect time to let them know you were listening. B. Physical evidence. Sales brochures are fine, but providing the customer with physical evidence is even better. A great example of physical evidence is the use of the automobile industry and the test drive. We all know the reason for putting us behind the wheel of that car. Once we've sat there, once we've experienced the pleasure of driving that new automobile, we're locked into purchase. Yet, as contractors, we go out, and the only sales tool we ever use is product literature. The customer never feels, touches, or sees anything other than product literature, doesn't see, feel, or hear anything prior to the actual installation. Here's a brief list of some ideas for more physical evidence that you could include in your sales presentation. The first one would be models. Examples would be, how about a model of an attic air conditioning system? How about models of pool installations? How about models of roofing materials or windows or siding materials or any other product or service that you're about to try to sell that customer? In the HVAC industry, several examples would be, how about programmable thermostats? Couldn't we teach the customer how to program a programmable thermostat? Trust me, you'll be well on your way to a sale if you do this. A humidifier. Couldn't we take and actually physically present that humidifier to the customer at the time of our second appointment? Water purifiers. Even a selection of faucets for plumbing. In the electrical industry, couldn't we actually bring actual fixtures? Again, in HVAC, how about registers and grills? Remember, there are antique registers and grills. There are wooden registers and grills. And how many shades of white, styles, sizes, and shapes are there for registers and grills? Remember, the key here with physical evidence is to be creative. Give the customer more reasons to purchase from you and let him physically touch the products that you will actually be installing. The final recommendation, or C, would be the use of a showroom. The showroom, and even your facility, your building itself, builds unbelievable credibility. If the customer comes to your showroom or your building, they have a chance to see your viable operation. They have a chance to see your office space, your shop, which maybe lots of customers have never seen, and even the products you'll be suggesting they purchase. One of your strategies with a showroom should be to invite your customers to pick up their paperwork at your facility. That will get them to your office. Many, many times when people have showrooms, they never fully utilize them. Very rarely will a customer ever come to the showroom. The reason for that is because we don't invite them. Now, you all have customers who sometimes are anxious to get their paperwork or their price. And I would think a perfectly logical solution to this would be to invite these customers to your place of business to pick up their paperwork on their ride home, especially if you have a convenient location and especially if you have a showroom. The fourth and final step of selling would be to present your paperwork. Again, paperwork is another word for proposal. I feel that you should put as much detail in your paperwork as possible. This will add value to your recommendations and perhaps cause doubt in one of your competitors' proposal because it doesn't contain all that detail. For example, if you're an HVAC contractor and you're providing a drip pan and float switch and you put that in your proposal, wouldn't it be reasonable for the customer to consider whether or not the competition, who maybe has a lower price, is adding a drip pan and a float switch? So by putting detail in there, you provide value in your proposal, and yes, you may be able to create doubt in your competitor's proposal. Now, the process of presenting a proposal is very, very simple. Merely read your paperwork slowly, explaining what you're proposing to the customer. Now, if you can, and some of you will be able to use this technique, turn the proposal or the paperwork towards your customer, and can you read the proposal upside down, or do you know it so well that you basically aren't reading it, you're repeating it from memory? Another major technique is never disclose the price of your job, service, product until you're completely done reading the proposal. The reason for this is, once you've exposed the price, you have lost the customer's concentration. He will now be focusing on the price and digesting it, as opposed to listening to what you're saying about what you're proposing in your paperwork to do for him. Now, after you've completed reading the paperwork or the proposal to the customer, I recommend allowing for 5 seconds of silence. 5 seconds of silence will seem like forever, and if you can, hold out for even a little bit longer. The reasons for silence is not what you're thinking. The next person to speak will not lose. The reason that you allow for the silence is to allow the customer to digest the information, the value that you're providing, and the cost of this new product, this new service that you're about to install for him. We always want to give the customer a chance to ask questions or state objections. We don't want to rush ahead and not allow him time to do this. If the customer doesn't break the silence in 5 or 10 seconds, you should break the silence. And here's one of the little lines that I would recommend you use. Well, if you don't have any questions, let's discuss when you want us to install your new blank, whatever it is that your product or service that you're selling. At this point, you're assuming you have the sale. Don't ask for the sale, and don't talk yourself out of the sale. Assume that you have it. One other brief issue that I want to go over is how to overcome a price objection. I have a simple technique. If the customer asks you or explains to you that he has a price objection with your particular job or your particular proposal, paperwork, tell him that you have reason to believe that he must have some basis of comparison. Ask if possible you could make this comparison with him. Tell him that your only reason for doing this is to help protect him and to make sure that he is getting apples for apples and the two prices provide the same amount of value. How do you do this? You ask to look at your competitor's proposal and you compare it to your proposal. Now, what you're doing here, and the reason for all that detail in your paperwork, is two things. One, to show the increased value in the presentation and proposal that you are suggesting, and also to create doubt in what the competitor is proposing, especially if there's no detail in his proposal. If at that point you believe the customer is really comparing apples for apples and he has a better price, I know you're going to be shocked. I say be honest with the customer and tell him so. Look it, the average contractor only closes 4 out of 10 leads. You're going to lose some. Why not be honest with your customer instead of trying to use some type of high-pressure technique to buy from you even when he's getting a better deal from someone else? Now, if for some reason the value that the competitor is offering in his paperwork is not of equal value to yours, you will have created doubt and you gained a chance to sell the customer. The final thing that could be happening here is the customer is merely a price shopper. And what I mean by that is he is looking for the lowest possible bid. What I recommend to do to overcome that type of customer is to carry an alternative proposal with your lowest price on it and only bring it out if the customer is a price-conscious customer. You should have known this because you should have asked questions during that measure appointment to find out what was his greatest want. The other objection you might run into is a time objection. And what this means is the customer may be looking for more time. What it tells me is your timing wasn't very good, or the customer has decided to buy from someone else, or the customer has not decided to buy from anybody. I have a simple way of handling this. I say that it is perfectly normal for the customer to want to make the best decision possible for his house, and it's all right for you to tell the customer that as well. But upon leaving, especially the second proposal and the second appointment, ask the customer when his timing is again. When did you say you wanted this new blank installed? And when are you trying to get the rest of your paperwork together? Then go right ahead and say, can you make me one promise? And as you're standing up, reach for the customer's hand and shake it and say, make me one promise. Before you make a final decision, will you promise to contact me? Now, if the customer really is looking for more paperwork, and if you get him to promise this, some of these customers will contact you before they make their final decision, and you will be last. For those customers who have already bought for someone else, you've let them off the hook. And for those customers who've made the decision not to purchase at all this year, you've also cut them some slack, and you've allowed them gracefully not to tell you that they're not purchasing this year. Through proper follow-up, we will find out where they are with all pending customers. Now, in closing, I hope you will consider timing as part of your sales strategy and at least try to use a two-step sales approach when appropriate. I feel that every circumstance should drive your decision on whether you should use a one-step or a two-step sales approach. Regardless of your strategy, remember, the key to improving your selling skills and enhance your technique is to be honest, be natural, and to have a little fun. Now get to work. Doctor's orders.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Granting Associates on the World Wide Web. Our website provides a detailed schedule of coming full-day seminars. Our address is www.grantyassociates.com and is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grantyassociates.com. One last comment. If you would like a free copy of Granting Associates' newest catalog of products and services, simply give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Granting Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.